Now it's time to discuss the Holy Sacrament of Repentance and Confession. As we went with the Sacrament of Baptism, we were following the verses from the New Testament to prove that this Holy Sacrament from the Bible and to understand the Holy Sacrament as the Holy Spirit meant it to be. The first verse from Matthew chapter 4, 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." By this verse we understand that the main goal in our Christ mission is repentance. So our main goal in our teaching is repentance. We need to repent and help everyone to repent. And as we had seen the relationship between the Holy Sacrament of Baptism and the Kingdom of Heaven, we can see clearly the relationship between repentance and the Kingdom of Heaven. All the Holy Sacraments work to take us to the Kingdom of Heaven. Another verse, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first bind the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. Who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. By this part, we understand the power of confession. When we go for repentance and confession, the strongest man, which simplified the idea of Christ, bind the strong one who is evil or Satan. So this is the power of Christ against the power of evil. And in this case, we are freed from sin. That's why he told us that all sin will be forgiven except those who are standing against the Holy Spirit. So they are not going to repent, so they will never be blessed forgiveness. This means that the main duty of a priest or a servant is to gather with the Lord, and by this gathering the sheep or the people, we are gathering them to take the forgiveness. We are telling everyone, come to take the forgiveness, but come in repentance. Just come to take the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Don't stay away. And those who are working with the Lord are always welcoming everybody to repent and confess and then blessed by the forgiveness. As you may know, the fathers of the church explained why especially the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. They explained this by, if you reject the Holy Spirit, you mean that you reject repentance. You will never repent. By refusing repentance for the whole life, you will never be saved. That's the only case which will never be given forgiveness. That's why we believe as Orthodox people that the sacrament of confession is very precious, because with the confession and repentance, we are getting the precious forgiveness. And now we are ready to go to heaven. This is also clear in Matthew chapter 16 when the Lord said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This verse applied mainly in the sacrament of confession. So we consider all sinners are prisoners, are prisoned in a prison of devil, and the Holy Spirit will free them, will give them freedom only with the sacrament of repentance and confession. That's why it's the key of kingdom of heaven. In Mark chapter 2, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So God came mainly for repentance. God came mainly for sinners like us. And he had the solution of forgiveness by His grace through the Holy Sacrament of Repentance and Confession. There is a famous teaching by Saint John Chrysostom from the 5th century. He said that the church, and he meant the Orthodox Church, there were no other church but Orthodox, the church is an hospital, not a court. We are not sitting in the church to judge people, we are standing in the church to cure people. So in our church, as said by Saint John Chrysostom, sick people are treating sick people. And the medicine in this case is the power of the Holy Sacrament given to the church, which are the sacraments. These are the medicines of the church to cure everyone. That's why we priests should be very kind with those who are coming to confess. We should encourage them to repent. We should push them to pray and take the communion, because they are given the forgiveness with the grace of God. It's not our gift, it's God's gift. In another parable, the Lord said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" This means that we, priests, deacons and servants, should go out looking for those who went away from the church. And we should consider ourselves as shepherds, we lost them. We are the one who lost them. They were not lost by themselves. We are responsible. As the Lord said, when He has found it, He lays it on His shoulder, rejoicing. So we should be happy receiving any confessor, and we should be very kind, as if we are carrying them on our shoulder. In the next parable, the Lord said, "What woman stands for the church, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp," lamp stand for the Bible, "sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.'" So the church is responsible for all her people. And we should look after them, look for them. And also, lighting the lamp means teaching the Bible. By Orthodox teaching, we can get all the lost back to their church. I remember an old priest told me once, when I was recently ordained, that take care of the confession sacrament. The day you are taking confessions, you are making all heaven happy, all the saints in heaven happy. So focus on confession, listen to your children, encourage them to repent, push them to get the communion. In doing this, you are making all heaven saints happy. On the third parable of repentance, written in chapter 15 of St. Luke's Gospel, the Lord said, "The son said to him," the prodigal son who went back to his home, said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." This is the confession. "And in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. So in this parable we can see we need not to go into details of the sin, because the son came back just confessing, "I am sinner. I sinned against you." His father did not ask him, "What exactly you did, so and so in details." No, he was happy welcoming him. He was not pushing him to be embarrassed. He was pushing him to be alive again. He was considering him dead and raised from the dead. That's the way we should accept our children when they come for confession. Believe me, all the Orthodox who went to Protestant churches and reject the sacrament of confession and communion, They need to confess, but they were afraid of the fathers. They were afraid of being rejected from the church. So all of them will come back to their mother church. If they knew that all priests of confession are welcoming everybody in repentance and are easily giving them the grace of forgiveness. Also in chapter 20 of St. John, the Lord said, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, again focus on this, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, this means that our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to forgive our sins, and he is sending his priest to forgive the sins of people. So if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So we are responsible for the grace of forgiveness. We are made as priests to give the forgiveness to every repentant one. In the book of Acts, also the apostles were always sending the message of repentance and forgiveness. It was written in chapter 3, repent therefore and be converted. Look to this. With repentance, we will be converted. We will be transformed. There will be real change. So repentance is not only feeling guilty. No, repentance means that one will be converted into a new one. The same action of baptism and Myron to convert somebody from darkness to light, the same action in repentance to convert somebody from the old one to the new nature. Also, Acts chapter 8, repent therefore of this your wickedness. When St. Peter was speaking to Simon, the bad one, he told him, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. He did not give him forgiveness because this man was not in real repentance. He just asked him to repent and be honest and change his heart from inside. That's why St. Peter did not give him the forgiveness or the absolution, because this Simon, the sorcerer, was not in repentance. In chapter 19, many who had believed came confessing. So the work of confession was there in the book of Acts. Those non-Orthodox are telling us confession is not in the Bible. No, it's in the Bible in many passages and many situations. Who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. In this passage we can see clearly that honest repentance needs not only confession but also to get rid of any bad action had done before. And when the book of Acts told us that they counted up the value and it totaled 50,000, this means that in the act of repentance and confession there will be some cost. We have to make sure that the guy coming confessing is ready to pay for the confession, not money, but to leave the sin, to change his life. There is some cost of repentance. It's not only emotional feeling, but also taking action in life. So we can see the priest of confession, the father of confession, first of all, he is a forgiver. Secondly, he is a father. Thirdly, he is a physician. Fourthly, he is a teacher. These four acts happened in the sitting of confession. He is a forgiver like God. He is giving forgiveness. And also he is a physician. He is curing. He is a teacher. He is teaching his son. And also, and most importantly, he is the father, happy with his child coming for repentance. When we go to the epistles, to the letters of St. Paul and other epistles, for until the law, sin was in the world, chapter 5 of Romans, But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So it's important to know the sins according to the law. Let's explain this. This is important. Somebody may do sins, but do not consider them as sins. Which law will take sins as right or bad? It's the law of God. So we have to teach our children to read our new law, the Sermon on the Mountain, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his teaching, one should see himself as a sinner. Because many of the confessors coming to confess, they do not feel guilty, they do not feel as doing bad things, because they do not know the commandments. If they know the order and the commandments, what's right and what's bad, they can see themselves clearly as sinners needing forgiveness. We had a case in the letter of Corinthians. In the first letter of Corinthians, there was a young man had adultery with his mother-in-law. And St. Paul took an action against this man because he did not complete his repentance and pushed him away of the church. But when we read the second letter to Corinthians, we can see clearly that he accepted him again when he repented in an honest way. So in Corinthians, the first letter, he refused him because he did not complete his repentance. On the second letter, he accepted his repentance and let him again into the church to enjoy the holy sacraments. For indeed, as absent in body, this is the first letter of Corinthians, when St. Paul knew that this young man had done adultery. Present in spirit have already judged. So, sometimes the father of confession is like a judge. As though I were in the present him, who has so done this deed, name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. All the fathers of the church explained this as he moved him away from the church not to take the communion because he was a sinner, not a repentant. You can see this in Corinthians, letter 1, chapter 5. In the second Corinthians, chapter 2, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. So he changed his attitude back to his fatherhood. He worked as a judge, it's needed. But his usual attitude is the father. So back to his fatherhood and kind attitude, he accepted the same guy, and he asked the whole congregation to forgive him and comfort him. Also he said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This means the father of confession should be very much alert, should know exactly the sort of evil war, evil thoughts. This man was about to go desperate into failure and he may lose hope. So St. Paul quickly took him back to the church and regained his hope. In the second letter to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In our practice of confession, as a father of confession, I should give advices and commandments to my son in confession with the words of God. Because he is saying here, the scripture can correct anyone's life. So with the word of God, I can correct his life. Not my word, not my advice as human being, but with the words of God, I should use it while practicing confession. Last verse, I would say, St. James said, confess your trespasses to one another. And he meant the sinner to the father of confession, because before this sentence, he was telling us, if you feel sick, go and ask your priest to come to you and take your confession. So he's telling, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. The priest pray for the confessor, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Last point I want to mention, that the word confession means three actions. Confession means that you confess faith, you confess your belief, you confess that you believe in God who will forgive you, Christ as Savior, Holy Spirit as the purifier. So you confess the faith. In the same action, you confess the thankfulness to God, being thankful to God because He is giving you the forgiveness. He is giving you the change, the renewal of your life. And the last action in confession, that you confess your sins. So with the same word confess, we confess our belief, we confess our thanks, and we confess our sins. Glory to God. Amen.